Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley. I'm here with the one and only Michael Glabicki of Rusted Root, who's coming to AMP in North Bethesda on Friday, September 30th at 8 p.m. Michael, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
Now, what can we expect to hear at this particular show? This is part of a national tour you guys got going, right?
Yeah, we've been out for about a month and a half now, and it's going great. I think, we cycle sometimes through material and through ways to create and communicate on stage, and we're in a pretty good spot right now. I think it's one of my favorites of all time, so I'm pretty happy about it.
That's awesome. Take me back to when you guys formed, because you guys are like a Pittsburgh-based band. What year was it, and how did you meet the original members?
Well, we started in 1990, and in about 1988, I dropped out of my first year of college and started writing with the intent of starting a band or the band. And so I was writing for about 2 years and playing with a few different people here in town and sort of getting my songs and ideas and the vision for the band together. And then in 1990, we started all coming together through some auditions and such. And pretty much the end result was everybody kind of knew everybody from an African drumming class at Pitt University. And that was sort of like my vision going into it, was to find people that knew something about African drumming or world beat music. And so that all happened. And then we got started pretty quick, and it, you know, within I want to say about 3 years, we had sold 40,000 copies of our first record out of the back of our truck. And I think we had recorded it in 91, and by 93, we had sold 40,000 just touring. So that's when the record labels started to take notice.
Awesome. You mentioned the African drumming class. You can definitely hear that in your guys' music. It's sort of this, you know, mishmash of a bunch of sort of global influences, a little Latin, a little Afropop. What drew you to that sort of thing? You know, even before you took the African drumming class, like, were there certain artists that influenced that for you that you said, "Damn, I want to make music like that"?
Well, it sort of came to me, I guess, all at the same time. So I was seeing some African drumming percussion ensembles come through Carnegie Mellon and Pitt University. I actually didn't go to Pitt, but the other members did later on when I got together. But this is like back in high school. I saw some of these things happening, and I saw that my cousin was in a band. And he was also in an African drumming band, and so it was all kind of happening all at once. And just seeing the energy of the music at these festivals and stuff, and just feeling it, I just was immediately drawn into it. And so when I started to write songs, that kind of energy, that kind of rhythm on the acoustic guitar started to come out, and it was much intuitive as it was kind of being around it. So when I finally started to put it all together, I was like, I at least want people to know in the band, you know, about it, or to have known that feeling, or to have been attracted to that feeling. Because when we really got into the music and the songs, I mean, we at least my direction was more intuitive rather than going out and finding influences. Some people were more involved in the influences in the band and kind of brought those in, and I could say yay or nay. So that's sort of how it got started. And then Peter Gabriel came out with So right around that time. And I actually had an adverse reaction to it, because it wasn't how I would want to use those sounds. But at the same time, I was very intrigued because he was the only person doing it. And then as I started to learn more and listen to more of it, I really got into it. But there was like, it was more a feeling for me, and there was a certain feeling that I wanted and needed out of the arrangements of my songs. And But he gave the green light as far as, well, we can use this sound, these sounds, and it can be successful in a not just an interesting way, but in a mainstream way.
Definitely. And you went from the interesting way and evolved into the mainstream way as well on the one everyone will know you for is Send Me On My Way. Tell me sort of how, do you remember where you were when you wrote that? Because I know it first appeared sort of in a rough state on Cruel Sun, and then you guys redid it for When I Woke, your big platinum album. Where were you when you wrote that? And sort of take me through, you know, both versions and why you decided to redo it.
We had a studio down in downtown Pittsburgh, and I would go in during the day and write and listen to tapes and kind of get my thoughts together on what we're going to do in practice that night. And I walked in, and there was just this feeling in the room, and the sun was shining in these warehouse windows, and it was just this sort of energy filled the room. And I ended up just writing it within maybe like 5 minutes, you know, and it just sort of came out, and I could feel like, you know, I mean, I could feel this energy in the room or these other entities around that were sort of just very playful and joyful. And, I was just sort of overcome with that feeling. So the song, when it came through, I was just giggling and laughing about it, you know, and having a good time with this energy. And then that night when the band came in, we pretty much arranged it, in one night. I mean, it was just pretty quick. I think the bridge came a week later. You know, it's songwriting and then getting the songs and then seeing how they come together is kind of like life. You know, you really don't know what's happening until you know, it's years later and you kind of look back on it and you start putting things together. I had been playing those chords of Send Me On My Way for probably like 8 years, and just was very intrigued with it and was always trying to write songs with those chords. And then just one day it all makes sense. And you find what those 8 years meant and that search through those emotions meant. And, but you know, then you kind of go like, well, what came, you know, you just don't know how it all fell together. I mean, looking back on it, it was just sort of this magical experience. And I think a couple of days later, we performed it out, and people were just immediately like, "Hey, that's your pop hit," and I was like, "Okay, whatever." That wasn't my scene at the time, so I was just kind of like laughing it off. But it kind of grew and grew and grew and had a life of its own. And then we recorded it on our first record, and that was just more of having something for people to take home from our shows. And and then it became a big hit, and then it keeps growing and keeps growing even now. You know, it's like the kid that went off to college at this point. You know, you kind of get messages, oh, like so-and-so's doing this now and so-and-so's doing that now. You're like, oh, okay, you know, it kind of feels like that, you know, it's sort of like out of our control.
Yeah, I mean, you almost forget that it was all the way back in the early 90s because it's all around us. I mean, it's on every like movie trailer and soundtrack. It's still on the radio. Like it's pretty ubiquitous at this point. So that's got to be a great feeling. I want to drill down into, you said something interesting. You almost described like a spiritual experience with the light coming through, and like you said, these chords you've been working on, you know, you've been banging on it for like 8 years or something just in your mind, and then all of a sudden it clicks. Do you think that sort of epiphany sort of moment, if you want to call it that, happens to most artists when on their major stuff that breaks through? Like, is there just sort of like a moment of clarity? I mean, I was reading on your bio that you said society has gone through from an industrial age to an individual spiritual age. Is there sort of a spiritual element into what you do?
Absolutely. I mean, that's sort of all I know, actually. If I try to go out and write a pop hit, you will definitely, I guarantee you will laugh at me. It'll be horrible. You know, music to me is kind of like the practice, the meditation, the guide through life for me. And it's connected to my dreams. It's connected to my spiritual feelings. It's connected to my spiritual experiences and all that. And that's sort of been my domain. And anytime I've tried to go out of it, I've failed miserably. So it's all I really have, yet I don't really want anything else. I think I always had sort of like this feeling like, oh, I'm going to develop this, my domain, this way of being, spiritual and drawing people through the music into this deepness. And then I'm going to get really good at writing pop music. And then I'm just going to like rule the world, but it never happened. You know, it's just sort of like once I'm here, I can't get out of it, and nor do I want to get out of it. And now with our live performances, even I'm going way deep into that. I've kind of like given up on trying to be anything else other than that. And so the people that I've put around me, some of the new musicians, and the way that we've developed as a band, as the old music, you know, the original musicians. We've focused on that, and we've gone really deep into it. So every night we enter that space of pure creativity, pure acceptance of whatever. We're not trying to be exciting. We're not trying to be interesting. We are just taking the energy of the crowd and doing whatever happens. And that again is the most exciting thing that could ever happen, because Once you get out of your mind and you get into this inspiration, this intuitiveness, the crowd can create something that I would never think of creating. So 5 times a night I start laughing because I've never heard us, meaning Rusted Root, sound like this. It's an original experience. It's a unique experience, and it's one that might never happen again.
Yeah, but isn't that what you know, being a that sort of jam band thing is all about? That just that organic, you know, just feeding off of what the room is each night. I love that idea, and that's is that sort of why we should come out at AMP? You know, even if we've owned your albums and have seen you, you know, do other things, but explain to our listeners, you know, why it's important to just come see you guys jam live here.
Well, for that reason in particular, I mean, I think there's. In that union with the audience, it becomes a ritual. It becomes more than entertainment, more than a show. The audience becomes literally energetically involved, so that they're passing energy, we're passing energy through us, and I think we're all being healed in that movement. And it's kind of like you go through life and we become hardened. And then this music comes that has this deeper meaning. And once it comes through you, it starts to open up these little blockages in your system. And by the end of the night, you feel like a different person. You feel like something has healed you, or at least that's the way I feel. And that's the way a lot of our crowd talks to us about what they've gone through in life and using our music and our concerts to heal or to get through certain patterns.
Definitely. For those that come out
and it's not I don't want to say it's jam band or it's anything. I mean, there's a lot of jam bands that don't do that, that are performing and going through thought, you know, it's very thought out. And then there's some pop music, there's some other types of music that are very healing in that way and very ritualistic in that way. So I don't want to say it's a jam band thing per se, but I think it's a deep intention and also a deep space from an experience and songwriting intention. There's a certain intention set up around it.
I love that. Dish on the people up on stage with you, your bandmates, at least the current group, you know. So what is Patrick, Liz, Corey, Dirk, you know, explain sort of just real quick a little what each one brings to the group.
Well, let's see. Patrick plays bass and sings background vocals, and he's sort of he's sort of intuitive in a way that's very, you know, he's very, I just want to say, like, he brings loyalty to the group, and that feeling of, hey, we're all together and we're doing something special, and that kind of energy, and we kind of feed off of that. And Corey's just, our drummer, is just super intuitive. I mean, whenever I think something, or like an idea comes, like it looks like it's presenting itself, he's like already on it before I could finish thinking that it was happening. And Liz, just her vocals are amazing, and she plays like all these different percussive instruments and washboard and all this crazy stuff. And then Dirk is just a very proficient guitarist and able to go anywhere that I want to go musically. He can just jump right in and plays off my guitar really well, in more of a feel kind of way. You know, it's just sort of like he's able to take on an infinite amount of feels, and then I play guitar and sing. I play electric guitar and acoustic guitar, and those are two very different instruments to me. And
Yeah, definitely. I know amp's definitely more of sort of like an intimate venue, but you guys have toured with some pretty big acts too. Like, is there anything you pick up about performing from, you know, you pick up from like guys like Santana or Dave Matthews or Allman Brothers, you know, any tricks of the trade you learn from touring with big names like that?
Yeah, definitely. Probably the most influential would be Carlos Santana, and again, it comes down to intention, and you know, people's artist intentions can be, I'm going to work really hard on this. I'm going to project some image of myself. I'm going to boost my image up this way and this way and this way, and I'm going to look really cool, and people are going to love it. And then there's artists that are continually learning and deepening in that spiritual realm that I was talking about earlier. And Carlos is definitely all of that. You know, he, when we showed up for a tour, he invited us up on stage. I think there were seven of us at the time. And, I think we played about five songs with him, and I think two of them, his band didn't even know. So there was about 14 people on stage for two of the songs that didn't even know the songs except for him. But he knew everybody on the stage. He had studied Rusted Root. He had studied a lot of the songs that we had done. He had studied my guitar playing to the point where he knew. Like, at one point, he pointed at me and walked off stage and lit up a cigar. And I had to sit there and solo until he came back up on stage. And I literally was soaked. You know, I was sweating from head to toe. And but I immediately went into playing it, and I realized that it was very similar to some of the other solos that I had done. And so I was saved. But I still at that point didn't realize that he had studied us. And then, you know, we did that every night. And then a couple of gigs later, he would say, hey, come on in. And I'd sit down in his dressing room, and he would show me some things that I wasn't thinking of on the guitar and that would connect up certain ideas that I had. And then the next few nights, he would point at me, and then I would start to implement that stuff. And he would sit there with Chester, the keyboard player, and he would go, oh, yeah. And they would both sort of like cheer me on. So what I'm saying is he was a teacher first and foremost. When we met him, I mean, he wasn't trying to put on the most successful show. He was trying to put on a show that projected evolution of us as humans, as spirits. It was very, it was just extremely, extremely different than anything I've ever experienced. And then later on, he started talking to me about leading the band and what he saw in me as good things and some things that I needed to learn. And I remember one day we came off stage and I was happy, but he could see I was a little like still thinking about what had just happened. And he walks up to me and he goes, man, you need to get angry. And I said, what? And he goes, you need to get angry. And he walked away. And I was like, I don't know what he meant. And then as days would go by, I would figure out what he meant and how useful that was of a comment. And, you know, it was just like that. And he always, you know, his phrase to me was always, it's not about success, it's about progress. And that always stuck with me.
You've been more than generous with your time. We can let you bounce. But before you go, I've always wanted to know where the name Rusted Root came from. Is there any of your spiritual ties, a tree of life? You know, where does it come from?
It actually came from nowhere. It was just us sitting in a room. We had, it was our second gig, and we needed a name really quick. And I think our first gig was a benefit, so we could just say, hey, these guys were playing. But then our second gig, we were opening up for a high school band at the Electric Banana, which was a punk club in Pittsburgh here. And we needed a name real quick, and so we all sat in a circle, and someone said Rust, and someone said Root, and we put it together, and that was the name.
Gotcha. And you still live in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, we're all still here, and I guess we're playing the Redskins on Monday, so we'll see how that goes.
I was getting ready to say that, man. I was going to talk a little trash. That's awesome.
Well, I hear you guys are going to be passing out burgundy towels.
It's our way to we've gotten embarrassed for the last couple years. You know, the terrible towels come down and it's a sea of gold. So this way, even if you guys swing them, it's still going to be burgundy and gold.
I know. It's such an awesome idea. Kudos on that. That's awesome.
totally. But so I mean, I'm sure this interview is going to air, you know, after the game. But either way, we'll find out by the time this airs. We'll know who won.
All right. Sounds good, man. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
All right, Michael. Thanks for your time. Again, Rusted Root is going to be at AMP in Bethesda on Friday, September 30th at 8 p.m. So check it out. Thanks, Michael.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.